Hi there, I'm Yawande, founder of Zora Digital. Welcome to this episode of Zora Talks, where we speak to founders and companies in the healthy lifestyle space. I'm happy to be here on the fourth episode where we speak with someone who believes in the power of plants. She is the former chief marketing officer of Papa and Barclay, an e-commerce business for CBD products. And she recently launched her own consulting agency, Plant and Prosper. Today, we're joined by Kimberly Dillon. Hi, Kimberly. Thanks for joining us.
I'm very pumped to be here.
It's great to hear that you are in this healthy lifestyle space. Zora Digital specifically specializes with healthy lifestyle brands, so we're really excited to be able to talk to you. And we're really interested in understanding the connection of CBD and wellness. You've been known to say that you believe in the magic of plants. How do you define the connection between CBD and wellness?
Well, CBD comes from plants. And so I think that we're seeing a movement to plant-based living. And that's shown where we've seen the popularity of the Impossible Burger, where even national burger chains are carrying a plant-based burger. And we're seeing just more plants in our sort of lifestyle. People are turning to cleaning products that are coming from plants. People are trying to eat more plants and less meat, especially as we get more meat substitutes that are actually taste well. And then CBD specifically in that is, how can we avoid taking opiates or painkillers or other prescription drugs that are synthetic when there is a plant alternative that actually is cheaper and more effective? And so when I think about wellness, I think of wellness as self-care and really knowing about your body and what your body needs. I generally believe in plants over pills. Mm-hmm. I generally believe in plants over meat. And I just generally believe plants over chemicals. I'm not a dictator about that, but I think we should incorporate more plants into our lives.
So that leads me into my next question. What are you doing now?
Yep. So I actually have two. So Plant and Prosper is a consultancy for those who are looking to establish brands in the cannabis and CBD side of the business. I've also taken on clients on a coaching perspective, coaching entrepreneurs as it relates to this space, only because it's an emotional roller coaster. And so I find that providing support services and just hearing about all of the challenges and pitfalls have been a value add. So Plant and Prosper is both content, where we produce a lot of content for the industry, and it's also consulting on branding. It's not tactical execution. So we partner with ad agencies such as yourself, but it's really around branding and starting about what products to launch with, et cetera, and the geographies, pricing, and more of that CPG brand management piece up front. And then I'm actually launching a CBD beauty line under the name of Frigg Wellness. The URL for that is Get Frigg. And this was out of the desire that I felt that no one was talking to women in an authentic way, and that CBD has a lot of potential. So we combine CBD with other botanicals as relates to hair care, skin care, and inner beauty. And so those products will be coming out at the end of the summer. And that's been an interesting journey as well, coming from a big player and jumping into this, you know, the small player again. It's been interesting seeing both sides of the business.
We looked at your background. You have a gamut of experience, everything from traditional brand management. You even started your own app. I was wondering, how has it been going from traditional marketing companies like Clorox to the Wild Wild West of the cannabis industry?
First off, I've never really stayed in a job for longer than 3 years. And I'm also very willing to switch industries and reinvent myself. And that used to make me self-conscious in the sense of, why can't I find something that makes me happy, etc. But what I realized is that I'm just a different type of person. And all those experiences make me even better for wherever I'm currently at. And so as I come into cannabis, I'm bringing so many parts of myself and all of my past jobs into this role into this industry, which I think is pretty valuable given that the cannabis industry is literally 2 years old.
When you say the industry is only 2 years old, what do you mean by that? Because I've heard that the first market to legalize medical marijuana was California, and that was all the way back in 1996.
Thank you for that. So Prop 215 was back in 96, and that passed medical marijuana. When I refer to sort of legal cannabis, it's without constraints, and it's not just medical marijuana, but it's recreational adult use cannabis as well.
Sounds like you were in the right place at the right time. Were you already in California when that change happened?
It was, and I was anticipating it. And so I remember in 2016, I was actually working for a Justin Bieber startup and telling my coworkers we should start something in cannabis, but it wasn't yet legal. And everyone's like, we would start something as soon as the law passed. And for something in my spirit, it just told me, like, this is going to be the year Prop 64 is going to pass. And then 6 months later, it did pass.
Wow, that's amazing that you had that foresight. I know a lot of the proponents of CBD and cannabis have been the pharmaceutical companies. So I'm wondering, with that being said, when there's a lot of money, a lot of problems follow sometimes, what do you foresee as the risks with cannabis now taking over in terms of being able to help people feel better?
Well, I mean, this is exactly that, is that it is going to be probably a pharmaceutical drug in the sense that what you're starting to see is CBD sold in its isolated form, which is a white crystal, which is easy to produce and mass manufacture. I'm a proponent of whole plant medicine, which usually means that, you know, your end result looks green or brown, or there's elements of the plant that are still there, because I believe that the components of the plants work better together than isolated. Isolated is a very pharma way to approach things. I mean, aspirin comes from a tree. It comes from the willow bark tree, but to commercialize it, like, let's make it, you know, let's distill it down and let's press it into these tablets. And so I think that that potentially is going to happen in cannabis, because this is a brand new industry. Out of nowhere, $25 billion of wealth is going to be created in this industry in the next couple of years. And so that means that people who are used to controlling the wealth, i.e. alcohol, i.e. big pharma, are going to lay a stake in the ground. And so they are both investing the most in the space and also lobbying against the space
at the same time.
And it's primarily for them to, you know, keep their interest. And right, I'm a capitalist. I'm launching, you know, I want to launch products that people buy. But at the same time, I'm also very aware of, like, you can also just grow this. Like, if you cannot buy this product, just start by growing some plants in your backyard. And so I think that's really scary to our system of healthcare. If you can take
that, anyone can do it.
When you can take control of your health.
That kind of leads me into my next question about Papa and Barkley. I understand it's number one in the state, according to BDS Analytics. And I'd be interested in learning a little bit more about what that means. So can you tell us a little bit more about Papa and Barkley? Yep. What makes it unique? Where is it sold?
So full disclosure, I left the company 3 weeks ago, but love it and still consider it part of my family. I was there. I was one of the first employees. We started in the founder's house. We would grow the plants in the basement and we would make the products in a crock pot. We're ranked number one by BDS. BDS is the leading data analytics company in the cannabis space. Very similar to like Nielsen's or IRI data, where they scan dispensary receipts and then predict out what those revenues will be. And so PMB, luckily, is the number one or number two in every product category that they play in, both on, primarily on dollar share. And he has an amazing story where he was looking to invest. The founder's name is Adam Grossman. He was looking to invest in the cannabis space. While he was doing that, his father got into hospice and he went to the internet and found a recipe for a cannabis balm. He made it in a crock pot, and then he put it on his dad's back, and it was able to get his dad better quality of life and to eventually leave hospice. And so at some point, it was between investment and going into this company line, and he went to the company. And so the company was named after Papa, which is his dad, and Barky, which is the family dog, and grew that business to, I think we're probably coming close to a $25 to $30 million business, starting from 2.5 years ago. So we were lucky to go through a lots of waves, and we just hit a ground game because there's not a lot of advertising or traditional marketing avenues available to us. So really worked on word of mouth campaigns and a ground game here in the state of California, where we just had the most people on the street, where we educated everyone about cannabis, even if it wasn't about our own products. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And your ground game sounds a lot like Lyft, because I remember when they first came out, they were using street folks to pass out coupons for Lyft. And so is that similar to your ground game?
Very similar. But we went to community fairs and churches and retirement homes and all these small events where there might be like 1,000 or 2,000 people, and literally popped up a tent and passed out lots of samples. The lucky thing is that like passing out free weed, i.e. granted, it's still a lotion, but free weed is like a pretty compelling value prop, right? So we were always the most popular booth at all these events.
Which leads into my next question in terms of how have you done digital marketing for Papa and Barkley?
Yeah, so at PNB, it was a starting process and lots of interesting explorations. I can't say that there was like really any successes yet. It's been a couple of months. And then again, I left a couple weeks ago. What's interesting is that it's really like whack-a-mole of finding the providers that would work with you. And so really, it's just around testing and learning and testing and learning. And the landscape changes all of the time. There are some CBD brands that have done well, but they've done well because they're very tricky in their naming, in the sense of they will call themselves hemp oil or hemp seed oil. And then you jump through 4 or 5 landing pages before you actually see the word CBD anywhere.
Wait, let's hear another perspective. You're about to hear from Andy Cotton, a veteran in the digital arena. Andy has years of experience in the advertising industry, from Yahoo to his current gig at Audience X. He's about to give us the down low on online advertising for CBD products.
It's an interesting and what I think is a huge opportunity, kind of greenfield space right now. What we have really focused in on and honed in on at AudienceX is through our trading desk platform, which includes access to 10 plus DSPs. What we focused in on there was to look at exchanges, publishers across the ecosystem, and develop custom cannabis-friendly, CBD-friendly access to premium inventory across digital, display, video, social, and work with the advertisers on being adherent to the policies, which also are changing pretty regularly, keeping them up to date. We've seen great success in terms of awareness campaigns. We've seen great metrics with high click-through rates on videos, video completion rates that are above industry benchmarks, really strong engagements across the board. And there's an incredible opportunity, and we've seen success already with some key partners.
Thank you so much, Andy, for that. Now let's get back to Kimberly. I do want to take a step back and ask about where is Papa and Barkley sold? Is it primarily online, or is it in brick and mortar? How does it get to the customer at this point?
So PNB was sold at over 400 dispensaries in the state of California. And then the CBD version was available online and at a number of retailers in New York.
I've heard companies having trouble setting up e-commerce for CBD online, what barriers did you guys have to jump through in order to get that, make that happen?
I mean, I think there are still lots of barriers. So like MasterCard decided a couple weeks ago that they weren't going to support CBD businesses. So it happens all the time. PayPal doesn't support, Stripe doesn't support. So primarily the issues on the merchant processor and finding the right bank. So finding the right bank and finding the right merchant processor are the two hurdles that it takes. The website hosting and all that is fine. It's really the money. And so again, as we talk about this $26 billion industry, I have to remind people that like it's still federally illegal to have that money in banks. And so you have to do a lot of wiggamaroo to move the money around.
Yeah, but the wiggling is worth it if you get that money, I'm sure.
Yes.
You mentioned you have to find the right bank. What bank does it online and or offers that processing, payment processing capability?
That's what I'm trying to figure out myself, actually. Yeah, the banks change all the time. And I think what most people do is they just don't tell their banks what they're working on and then wait to get shut down, which is a bad customer experience, right? Because you want continuity in your services, but that is what happens. So when you do find a CBD product that you like, sometimes you'll see like, please call us to complete your order, which means they're going to probably take a check or a debit card over the phone, which doesn't go through the merchant processing system. So there's still... or that merchant processing transaction will go through Ireland or the UK because it could be legal there but not be legal in the United States. So there's all kind of like little quirks in that game.
Yeah, so I can understand why it's advantageous to have someone like yourself for those businesses looking to get into the space. I think there is also some confusion as to how to enter the space. So can you tell us maybe like one or two, three steps that someone should take in order to be involved in this green rush?
I mean, I applied for my job on Indeed without any cannabis background. Everything that's in the general market is needed in cannabis. So if you're an accountant, if you're a software engineer, all those jobs translate. It's literally just a product or agricultural product. So those same jobs translate. So if you want to get a job, it's really around identifying the companies that are in your region and applying. The second is if you want to invest. And so investing is the same as getting smart with Wall Street and understanding what are the different cannabis stocks that are available. Primarily, most of them are on the Canadian exchange. What are the hemp stocks? Now that hemp is legal in this country, what are some of the hemp stocks coming? But like, actually, you don't even have to necessarily invest in just cannabis. So there's a lot of what they call, what do they call it? The picks and pails of the industry. So these are the tools, the non-plant touching businesses. So it takes a lot of light bulbs to grow cannabis. It takes a lot of fertilizer to grow cannabis. It takes a lot of machinery. And so investing in the companies that are investing in cannabis space is another way to make money. And then the third is entrepreneurship. If there's a product or something that you want to create, that is really where it takes a little bit more networking and getting involved in the cannabis community. And so I think the first step is really understanding, do you want to be an investor? Do you want to be an entrepreneur? Or do you want to be employed by the industry?
Man, who knew you could find a CMO job on Indeed? That's great.
Yeah.
And in terms of the entrepreneurship, I've been hearing people say that it's already saturated. There's already a lot of products out there. Do you think that's the case, or is there still opportunity for an entrepreneur wanting to get into this space?
I think that there's always opportunity. I mean, how many bottles, like brands of bottle of water, or like how many brands of lipstick? Like people are always creating new products. I think on the cannabis side, it is literally state by state. So now that Illinois has opened up, there's so much opportunity, and there's tons of states that are not even legal yet that need their products, because on the cannabis side, it is very challenging to be a multi-state operator. So primarily when you start in California, you are selling in California. If you start in Illinois, you are primarily selling in Illinois because it's not federally legal. So that means there's 50 different states with 50 different rules 50 different customer bases. And so there's a lot of opportunities as it relates to the state level. On the CBD side, I think we're at the very, very beginning. And the infrastructure, so all the unsexy parts, all those brands and companies are going to need lawyers. They're going to need accountants. They're going to need software. They're going to need data. My answer to them is like, the game just started. Like, you can't have a $26 billion industry come online in 2 years and it be done. Like, it's going to be very evolving. And the people who entered first are perhaps not the best operators. So the people who I've noticed who were first to this game were people who were perhaps doing things illegally. And so now you're going to have more professionals and maybe you'll do it better than they did. So I think it's just the beginning. And I think that there's so many opportunities to get involved.
Yeah, I like that. The game is just starting. So anybody out there looking to do it should think about that. And I need to figure out what I'm going to do in this space. I want some moolah.
I mean, advertising and marketing is huge in this space. And like, I've met a woman who was successful where she just organizes all the regulations state by state. You pay a subscription fee just to type in your zip code to know what the rules are. I mean, that's a pretty simple business model, and she's made millions doing that. So there's just so many ways to make money. They don't have to be plant touching. They don't have to be complicated. Just imagine, banking is illegal in our industry. That in and of itself is a huge issue. Like, what does that literally mean? That means security dogs. That means security people. That means security services. I don't know what other types of solutions there might be, but there's lots of problems and lots of issues that are in our industry. And so I think people often think, oh, I have to touch the plant or I have to know something about cannabis. It's like, no, you just have to find the pain problems that are in this industry and solve them.
Talking about the future, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on where the CBD industry is headed in 2020. What does the future look like?
I think in 2020, I think CBD is going to be in lots of different things. So I think once we get clarity on the regulations and clarity on banking, I think you're going to see CBD as an ingredient in your cereals. I think it's going to be fortified with CBD. I think you're going to see it in lots of food groups, lots of beverages. There are a lot of CBD beauty companies coming out as well. So I think it's going to be an ingredient, and it's going to be how coconut oil and turmeric had a moment. And I think CBD will have a moment. The only thing that's different is that there wasn't a lot of fake turmeric on the market, you know, versus in CBD, there's a lot of fake CBD on the market. So I think it's going to be a little bit more confusing for the customer, but I do think big brands are going to be adding the ingredients to all of your normal products.
Yes. It might even be CBD overload.
I mean, it will be overload before it'll be good.
And what do you mean by that?
I think that when you have people putting CBD in your Carl's Jr. hamburger,
right?
And there's no amount of CBD that could be in that hamburger that would actually provide like therapeutic benefits. I think people are going to put CBD in it to get the chill factor because that's fun and that's hip. And it's kind of naughty to be like, oh, look, I'm kind of like playing around with cannabis and I get to stick the weed leaf on my product and that's cool. But it's not really tapping into the benefits of the plant. And so that's my concern, is that it's going to be a fad and people are going to write off the plant without actually ever really being introduced to it in a authentic and impactful way. But, you know, I think we're in the beginning of this sort of like green rush. So I think there's going to be like a ton of noise. But I think over time, the best players are going to succeed. And it won't be as confusing as we move forward. Right now, it's just there's a lot of money to be made. But I think over time, and with proper, responsible regulation, I think the best products are going to emerge and stay.
They'll rise to the top.
Yep.
We're so happy that Kimberly shared her knowledge of the CBD marketing game. She's definitely an expert in this industry. In this episode, she shared everything from the history of cannabis consumption to its legalization and the healing power of plants. We covered so much. As always, thank you listeners for joining us in our goal of bringing in a community of visionaries dedicated to making the world healthier. Be sure to follow us on social media at Zora Digital. Talk up, talking up is what Zora Talks is all about. Tune in next month for episode 5.